This is Melanie.
And this is Deborah with the Savvy Girls Podcast. And this episode, we are podcasting to you
from Nashua, New Hampshire,
from Columbus and West Friendship in Maryland,
and from a variety of states
while we are on the road, including the following:
Vermont, New Hampshire, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Massachusetts, and currently in Pennsylvania.
We have a packed show for you from the Gerbil Show that took place in Nashua, and the other significant portion is from the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival in West Friendship. We can't wait to be podcasting.
We have driven almost 2,000 kilometers in 3 days
in order to put this show together for you.
And we are on very little sleep.
So sit back, relax, be a little bit forgiving, and enjoy this show.
And I say, hey, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right.
This is Deborah speaking, and beside me is my sister Melanie.
Hello.
Normally, we don't podcast from the same location. For any new listeners, I'd just like to briefly explain to you who we are and what the show is. We met a lot of people over this past weekend, and I suspect there might be a few new ears listening to the show. So, as I said, I'm Deborah, and I normally live in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I will be moving about 4 months from now to Bogota, Colombia.
Actually, it's 2.5.
Okay, in 2.5 months, I'm moving to Bogota, Colombia. My sissy Melanie is a professional opera singer who normally lives in New York. We are both from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And we both do quite a bit of traveling in our lives. And sometimes our travels bring us together, and sometimes our travels bring us in all sorts of different areas in the world. Normally, we record from a distance, but this happens to be a show where we're together in the same location at the same time. So we're recording together.
Okay, we recorded a lot this weekend. We podcast from the car. We were probably in the car for about 26 hours in 2 days. So if you saw us, that was one of the brief moments when we were not in the car.
That's right.
We recorded from basically everywhere there is to record. We brought it home, we listened to it.
And we realized that there was no...
It was a very...
We had been tired for a lot of our recording.
A lot of it didn't make sense.
That's right. And so what we thought we would do is provide a narration as we go, explaining how our weekend went.
So when you hear the clips, you won't think, who or what?
What's going on? Yeah, so we're going to be providing our narration to tie together all of these incoherent threads. They're not actually all incoherent.
No, but last night was pretty bad. Well, we each had a specific reason
for wanting to travel this past weekend.
Yes, for wanting to travel this past weekend.
I, Deborah, normally live in Buenos Aires, but I traveled to North America for a work trip, and I had, as usual, the weekend off of work. So I being free, and Melanie being free, we decided we would spend the weekend together, Melanie coming from New York, and me coming from Ottawa, and we would each do one
activity
that appealed to us.
I've been looking forward for way too long to the New England Gerbil Show. Yes, there are gerbil shows, and I have 3 fine gerbils. They are
fine specimens
of gerbils, and I thought they deserved a chance to shine at the Gerbil Show. Plus, it seemed like the kind of sort of original thing that most people do not get the chance to do in their lives.
That was her activity, and my activity was to go to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. I've only been to one previous to this one, which was the New York State Sheep and Wool Festival, but they're kind of like a country fair with animals and judging breeds, and there's a marketplace.
And cotton candy.
And festival food, and if anyone is a fiber enthusiast and an outdoors enthusiast, it really, really is something special to go to and experience. So, Friday afternoon.
So we're going to start with our weekend. On Friday, I traveled to Nashua, New Hampshire to go to the Gerbil Show. I arrived at 7:30.
Okay.
And I walked in the hotel, and Well,
why don't you talk about the hotel?
Maybe let's both talk about the hotel.
So I'll talk about how I got there.
Sure.
I worked until about 3:30.
Up in Canada.
Up in Canada, in Ottawa. And then I rented a car and started driving. And I drove and drove and drove and drove. And by 1 a.m., 1:30 a.m., 2 a.m., somewhere around there,
there was a knock on my door.
I arrived in Nashua. And a little bit tired. A little bit. A lot tired.
Can't believe you found it.
But I found it. I arrived and into the hotel. Which hotel was it?
It's the Holiday Inn in Nashua.
And I don't think they've updated the decor since about 1971.
It was so... I don't even know...
It was hilarious. It was very small town, but it really was 1970s decor and kind of smelled like a 1970s hotel. Not. It didn't smell bad, but it...
The decor was orange, wood,
yeah,
yellow. The phones were not rotary dial.
But they might as well have been rotary.
They were the kind that when you hang it up, you can hear a bell ring.
Yeah.
And I don't really know where in the phone the bell lives.
We're in
Nashua, and I think it's New Hampshire. We didn't learn the state.
We're in New Hampshire at the New England Gerbil Show. Maybe we're in New England.
Nashua, it is New... Is this New England?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're in New England. That's good.
New England's like 11 states. It's not just...
That's confusing.
We are in,
New
state
England.
Of New Hampshire.
In the area of New England.
In the region of New England.
So, but we're in close proximity to a million...
Gerbils.
Yay!
Actually, I don't know how many gerbils there are currently in the room. Maybe 300?
No, there's more than 300. Maybe...
Do you think?
A million?
I don't think so. Melanie has been thoroughly distracted all morning. It's not even 9, and she's basically been running around totally distracted. Oh, look at this! Ooh! Ooh, what about this? Oh, kiss the gerbil!
Well, I have gerbil cheated and kissed other gerbils.
You have gerbil cheated.
It helps to... I know. It helps to admit it, though.
Not only was Melanie going to show her gerbils and hopefully win a prize.
Win glory.
We had paid the whopping $10.
It was $15. We paid $15 to rent a table.
I would call it their marketplace, but it was all in the same room. Mm-hmm. So to rent a vendor table, because we had some creative ideas of things that we could make and sell. And it was kind of a sister project. When we arrived and set up our table, we had each been very creative and we had a variety of things. Do you want to talk a bit about what you had made?
All right. I had painted frames, wooden frames. I had painted gerbils on them and put letters on them for gerbil-related lettering.
And let me just interrupt and say that Melanie is very talented when it comes to drawing cute pictures and painting cute pictures. And they were absolutely adorable.
So there were frames and mirrors. There were shirts that I made with gerbil graphics on them.
That's right.
We actually printed out gerbil graphics that I had designed and bought shirts, really nice shirts and tank tops, and put them on. I had spent hours making about 60 handmade gerbil necklaces with
Fimo
clay pendants with, again, gerbils eating grapes, gerbils hanging out, guinea pigs.
All sorts of things.
I even jumped on the bandwagon of end-of-life planning.
Oh, my goodness. There were a couple of gerbil coffins that I diplomatically titled keepsake boxes.
Yes.
And I had also got some stuff. I had some canvas bags that I had our gerbil graphics printed on. And I also helped with the t-shirts. And I had made some... I had taken wooden frames and put gerbil images on it and using decoupage and decoupage glues. And
we had also personalized a bunch of gerbil dolls that we bought at a store.
Yeah, so we made tags for them that gave them each a name and an identity. One of them, a little brown one here, we named him Squishy.
My name is Squishy. My birthday is...
The 2nd of April.
And I like...
Climbing to the top of my cage.
Oh, and here's another, just for an example.
Okay.
This one is Ella.
This is Ella, and her birthday is on the 23rd of March, mm-hmm. and she likes to eat sunflower seeds. And also, I had... knit a variety of tote bags.
Beautiful tote bags. Yeah, these are some stunning tote bags.
And then I had fold them. So I turned them into felt. And then I had needle felted gerbil images on the front. And if you're interested in seeing them, they're in my projects page. And if I could say so myself, I think they're kind of cute.
They were amazing.
So we set up our table and the show began.
At the table behind ours, which is womaned by Gerbil Gal, also known as
Diane.
And you've heard from her before, and she is actually the one who convinced us to come to this gerbil show. What do you have on your table?
Well, I have my knitted gerbils that I've talked about before.
That are beautiful.
And I also have knitted necklaces, which I have little pendants on them that I made myself with a laser. And I've also made little cute little pouches for the little guys to play in.
And she has some beautiful gerbils, including Dexter and Toby.
How did you think to name them? Because I love the names Toby and Dexter.
Well, basically, when I first got them, they didn't tell us their names yet. And usually, after a day or two, they usually end up telling us their names.
How do they do that?
Oh, basically, they're psychic in our sleep. They tell us in their sleep, they say that this is our name. And also, plus, that's one of our favorite TV shows, so he looked like one, so...
He looks like a serial killer?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a serial
killer. Well, he's very skittish, so...
A serial killer needs to be calm and exacting. Maybe he's in training.
Yeah.
I am here at the Gerbil Show with Donna Lawson, and it turns out that she breeds and raises alpacas. What's the name of your alpaca farm?
Dancing Deer Alpacas.
How many alpaca do you have?
Right now we have 12.
And you said this was a tough winter. What happened?
The snow accumulated on our barn, and our barn collapsed. So the alpacas were without shelter for a little while. But they're doing very well. We saved all of them. We've got the boys on one side, the girls on the other side, and we're rebuilding our barn.
Everyone's
survived.
Okay, they're happy.
Yes.
How many animals do you have?
We have 12 right now. We had almost 30 last year, and we downsized a little bit.
Wow, okay.
And now we've been able to expand our pasture. We bought some more land. We have 25 acres now, so we're going to rebuild starting next year. We're going to have about 8 babies next year, so we're starting to rebuild our herd again.
Wonderful. And you said something about having beautiful yarn.
Yes. Last year we sent it out. We had all different weights of yarn made up, and we had one where they're all natural colors. We don't have them dyed.
Right.
We had one yarn that we made up of a combination of the different colors that we have, and it turned into like a heathered yarn with browns and blacks and whites all woven in, and it just turned out gorgeous. And we have felt too as well.
You send it to a mill, like, I'm guessing?
Yes.
What mill do you use?
A place called Georgia Mountain Fiber. We raise Surrey alpaca. The Kayas look like big fat teddy bears, and they have very coarse hair.
Ah, okay.
The Surreys have it kind of hangs down in dreadlocks, and it's very, very soft. So the garments that are made out of Wakaya are generally garments that aren't going to be touching your skin, like outer garments. The Surrey alpaca, they make baby blankets. It's really, really soft, so they make their really delicate baby items.
That's the butter soft alpaca.
It's really lightweight, and it's really warm, and even if you're allergic to wool, you won't be allergic to alpaca. It's a different consistency. Some of the Wakaya is kind of coarse. Some people might have an allergic reaction to the Wakaya, but the Surrey is just so soft. It's just unbelievable. I love it.
Do you sell your yarn online, or can people come visit you?
My husband has a shop, Actually, my husband is a firearms trainer.
It is America.
I make jewelry and...
You raise gerbils.
And I raise gerbils. I make jewelry. We raise alpacas and I paint. And I sell my artwork and my jewelry and our alpaca yarn at my husband's firearms shop.
Get your guns, you get your wool.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a psychology. Sometimes guys go in there, they spend a whole lot of money on guns, and then they think, oh, maybe I should bring something home to my wife or my girlfriend, and they look over in the corner.
And it's much cheaper compared to what they've just spent on their guns.
At first, when my husband suggested it, I was like, I don't know how this is going to play very well, but it actually played really well.
That's great.
So,
do you have a website, or are you only based in the store?
We have a website. It's called www.dancingdeeralpacas.vpweb.com.
Okay.
And all our contact information is on the website, so if anybody wants to come to a farm visit, they're welcome to.
Farm visit.
And we also have the yarn and the products at home, too, so people come for farm visits and they want to buy some yarn or some products, we've got it at home too.
That's exciting. Great.
So wait, if you were on a ship and it was sinking and it was alpaca or gerbil, which would you rescue?
Oh man, don't ask me tough questions like that.
I know it's gerbil.
No, two of each.
I'd have the gerbils in my pocket. That would be an easy one. And I'd have my arm around the alpaca.
Our gerbils went off to be judged, and we sat there and we figured any minute now, any
the crowds
minute,
will come. And we had been told
that there'd be 100 people showing gerbils or so, and that there.
And then there'd be additional walk-ins and that sort of thing. Well, it turns out that it appeared that maybe 25 people other than the vendors came to the whole show.
If that.
Yeah, the turnout was rather disappointing, and we were pretty bored during the day and unsure of what to do with all our gerbil swag.
Our table was right beside an open door. And through the door
was freedom.
With sunlight and freedom. We were allowed to enter the judging area to vote for our audience choice gerbil, our favorite gerbil. Mm-hmm. And I walked by and I noticed that one of my little gerbils had been put under the table.
Okay.
He was genetically not even good enough
not
to be...
Pure enough not to pure even enough to even be... He was disqualified from the competition. They actually took his cage and put it under the table.
And I wanted him back.
Yeah, I know.
I really... My boy, my poor little guy. I mean, it's one thing to be rejected. It's another thing to be rejected and hidden from public view.
Precisely.
It was so sad.
Yeah.
So we snuck out.
Yeah, to make a long story longer.
To make a long story short, we snuck the gerbils back and snuck our things into the car and we left.
And we left. We got on the road at what time about?
We got on the road at 3:30.
At 4:30,
we got a phone call.
Oh, yeah. 4:30, we got a phone call from one of the show's organizers saying, Melanie, one of your gerbils won the Public Choice Award.
Woohoo!
So one of her gerbils...
I keep
joking about it, but one of her gerbils
Felix.
Won the... Felix. Won the Miss Congeniality Award. So that's kind of fun. And then we kept going. We drove.
We went. At one point, we were in a bit of a panic because... Was that yesterday? I don't know which trip that was, but we said something about how we don't know how we ever did it without the GPS.
Oh my goodness.
And then it broke.
And then within 30 seconds, the GPS turned itself off and wouldn't function anymore.
So we are now in the car on the New Jersey Turnpike.
And we are 2 hours and 24 minutes away from Maryland, from our hotel. And it is 10:04 p.m. So we kind of thought we would be getting in at 2 a.m. So if we can get in before 1, that will be better than we had expected. We were just chit-chatting about what's going to happen at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival.
Right.
And we were actually just talking as well about what I'm looking forward to, what my goals are for this Sheep and Wool Festival. Are you rolling your eyes already, Mel?
No.
Because it has only just begun.
I'm rubbing my eyes because I may be allergic to a room full of...
Gerbils?
Maybe. I'm not allowed to say the word anymore.
I see.
My eyes hurt. My brain hurts. And we had such great gerbil merchandise, and no one even looked at it. It was wonderful.
We had great gerbil swag, and we may very well have gerbil swag available for sale on our website.
If anyone would like some awesome gerbil swag or hamster swag, because we can always break off the tails.
That's true.
Or felt over them, we have plenty.
So we were talking about
what I had on my things I'm interested in buying. I was thinking of seeing if anyone had any anti-moth, anti-insect type things. So maybe cedar chips. Sometimes they have a cedar essence kind of thing that you can just put little drops. I have a whole list. Oh my goodness, what else did I want?
Well, I know you wanted to buy some kind of full animal.
I was thinking of looking at the fleeces. It's really impractical for me to buy one because I have to carry it back and I don't even know if I could get it across the border. I wanted to definitely get some spinning fiber and...
cotton candy.
That was on your list, I think.
That is my list.
That is your list.
Arrived at our hotel.
What we believed was to be our hotel in Maryland. And we went to check in.
We were exhausted.
We were very tired. We went to check in and it turns out that we did not have a reservation for that hotel.
There was another Marriott in town.
Yeah, and we had the front desk call the other Marriott and it turns out our reservation was for that hotel for the next weekend. There was no room at the inn.
No room at the inn.
At either of them. And we had to find an alternative. So Melanie being the savvy girl that she is.
I am.
Looked it up on the internet and found availability, one room at the Hilton for a very reasonable price.
I think it cost $100. It was just over
$100. Yeah. Which was...
including breakfast.
And which was the same price we were going to pay at the...
At the Marriott. We got this huge suite. It was beautiful.
There was a kitchenette, a king-size bed. It was an absolutely beautiful hotel. Before we went to our hotel, we had a nice visit. We got to meet Jasmine and Gigi from the Knitmore Girls podcast.
They were at the Marriott. They had rooms.
They did have a room at the Marriott. And then we ended our evening at the Hilton, very, very tired, but glad to be there.
Very glad to be there. Mm-hmm.
The next morning we woke up at...
yeah, I don't know if we've actually woken up yet.
That's right. We have been very tired for a long time. But we woke up early. We were on the road by 9 o'clock. And we arrived at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival.
And just one extra side. We left the dribbles at the hotel. We were a little worried what to do with them. Hotel was wonderful. They put them behind the desk. They fed them extra fax paper all day to play with, and they gave me a rundown when I picked them up about exactly what they had done all day. So, mm-hmm.
Melanie was thrilled to have the report. The only thing that would have made it better would have been if they had given you a written report card.
Ooh, or a documentary.
A play-by-play.
But yes. Anyway, okay. So the knitting part of our weekend...
Now begins.
Going to be a hot day.
What does it feel like already? 30 degrees out?
For you Americans, that is about
80?
81, 82, 88.
Yeah, so it feels hot. And I think it's going to be another scorcher today. We made t-shirts. We, as in Melanie, made t-shirts.
Woohoo!
And mine says Savvy Girl Deborah, and Melanie's says
Savvy Girl Melanie.
And we're so excited. We're going to meet people, and this is our second Sheep and Wool Festival that we've been to.
Ooh, I was going to wear my knitted socks.
Why didn't you?
Because I forgot. Two, you had them, and also it's hot.
No, well, they're in the small bag.
I don't know if that's a little much. I don't know if it's like that time you wore a pirate costume to school.
Oh, there was once when I was younger, and I had a dance costume. But I particularly liked the vest, which was fuchsia with black stripes. So fuchsia and black stripes. And then with that, I put black spandex pants with, it looked like paint spatter neon green on them.
Oh, I remember those.
But it turns out not only did I wear that to school, but Mom was kindly trying to encourage me not to wear it that day. It turns out that was actually an awards day and I was winning an award.
We do have the picture.
We do have a picture. I ended up asking Mom recently why the heck she let me go to school for an awards ceremony in this atrocity. And she said, but Deborah, you felt so good about yourself. You looked in the mirror and you felt wonderful. And I couldn't tell you couldn't wear something that you felt so special in.
Arr.
And you know what? Maybe I think that that's a very good parenting decision.
arrived at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival, and we met up with one of our listeners who goes by the title Deb in Atlanta.
And she's also our friend.
And we also met her friend Steph, who goes by the name Kiki. So we met them, and we were greeted with many, many hugs and kisses, and I got a wool present.
Oh, yeah, you got a wool present.
Yes. Deb gave me a skein of Bugga hand-painted sock yarn, and I've heard of this, and it's gorgeous. It's a rust color, a semi-solid rust, 70% superwash merino, 20% cashmere, and 10% nylon, and I am thoroughly in love with the color and the yarn, and I'm so excited to try it. Before I even entered the gates, I had made my first yarn acquisition for the day.
Ooh.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. And you had mentioned that you didn't want to buy very much yarn today or fiber. You wanted to keep it
reasonable.
Real.
Keep it reasonable. But the day began with a beautiful skein of Bugga.
And we had brought Deb a present also. We had made her a shirt saying Deb in Atlanta on it. So we went to change. Well, I went to change and Deb went to change. And we had a very interesting adventure. Fair.
We're here, and we're here with
Kiki Tinks, and Deb in Atlanta.
Hello again.
And we just had a quick stop at the women's room before we're going to start our day here.
So Mel and Deb, not me, but Deb in Atlanta, beelined into a room that they saw restroom
Gotta
written
go.
On top.
Gotta
and
go.
Then after they walked in, the door slowly swung shut, and the gentleman sign on the front became visible. And so Kiki and I pretty much killed ourselves laughing.
And we...
As they both, inside the washroom, came to the slow realization that something wasn't right.
The man walking past them.
And the little boy mentioning his private parts.
But we're done now, and we only, you know, we're done, and we didn't have to wait in the line at the women's, so...
Not that there was a line.
Hush up. So we're going to go see what there is to see.
Exactly. The Columbia Sip and Knit had set up a hospitality area where they had put tables and umbrellas and they had drinks. And the idea was is that they were providing a comfortable place for people to meet and to rest their weary legs and to enjoy each other's company. So we had arranged with a couple of other podcasters. There were quite a few knitters there and we had a lovely time just meeting people. If we met you, it was such a pleasure.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. And the kind people at the Columbia Sip and Knit gave us a little gift bag. So I would like to talk about my second yarn acquisition.
Are you
going to
talk about what else was in the gift bag?
I will. First of all, the gift bag itself is a beautiful project bag with sheep on the outside.
Confused-looking sheep and bees.
Ooh, who doesn't like bees? I think it's pronounced Fila's Funky Fiber Bags. They're adorable bags. And we each got from Cedar Tree Farm a bar of sheep soap.
Not
to clean
to wash
sheep,
your sheep,
but it's a...
To clean Deborah.
That's right. It's a bar of soap in the shape of a sheep. So that was exciting.
And we got note cards, knitting note cards, and they say knit happens on them.
Yes.
Sometimes knit happens.
They're adorable. I'm so
excited.
They're
really, really nice.
And this was provided by JoJo's Craft Shop.
Knit happens.
And finally,
We got wool.
Acquisition.
So
acquisition number two for the day.
Now, what does your wool look like?
Mine, first of all, it's from Woolen Studio Designer Yarns.
Woolen Studio.
And I got the colorway Tequila Sunrise, which is a yellowish orange. And it's bright and happy, and I love it.
And I got the colorway Paint It Black. And this company, they name each of their colorways after a song. Somebody told me that.
And this is Superwash Merino Sock Yarn, 70% Merino, 25% Nylon. And that's my second yarn acquisition for the day. Loving it.
Yes, I love it too. This may need to be what I use in my next project. Maybe in June. Whoa,
having another project?
And maybe in June. We'll talk about it. June,
we can discuss July. It. 2015.
Well, we are at our meeting point here at the entrance to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival, and here I am with Nordic Goddess and Sparkle Cat, and Sparkle Cat's
Patient.
I don't know, what do you want me to call you?
Husband, better.
Patient, very patient husband. And we're having a great time. This is so much fun. Sorry, and Julian.
Julian.
Hi, Julian.
Hello.
So what have you guys bought / seen already?
Lots of felting stuff, because I'm really into wet felting now. And so I got all these things that you can make hats and rugs and everything like that. So hopefully I'll be doing a lot of that this next week.
Nice.
And Nordic Goddess, you took a spindle spinning class.
I took a spindle spinning class on Friday with Maggie Casey. It was the first time I've ever spun anything. And it's rather amazing. I was blown away. So of course now I've come home with lots of roving to try on my own and practice.
But in Sleeping Beauty, she pricks her finger on a spindle and dies.
It's part of a very old-fashioned spinning wheel where they have a big point that comes out of it. They haven't had that on spinning wheels for like 400 years now.
And you were here yesterday as well, right?
Yes, we spent a lot of time with the sheep, actually, walking around and watching the exhibits and really just enjoying the shearing and so on.
Did you watch any judging?
We watched a little bit, but we couldn't really follow it too well because we're not in the judging sheep kind of lifestyle.
In the sheep genetics lifestyle?
No, we're not. No, but we really enjoyed getting out of the sun and under the tents and seeing the sheep in action.
Wonderful. Did you get anything yesterday? Did you buy anything? Or today, so far?
Yeah, I'm sort of filling a gap in my inventory, shall we say.
My stash.
And looked at some of the spindles this morning, the hand spindles, and I bought myself a Ninny Noddy.
Wonderful. That was actually on my list of things to look for. I don't know that I can travel with it, but I'm going to look.
Well, it's all wood, and looks like three pieces of wood stuck together, so I'll show you later.
I'd love to see it. I would love to see it.
Yeah. And we bought a couple mugs from Jenny the Potter, who has Heather Wardover from Craftlit.
Oh, okay.
So she's up there, if you're up that way, when you finally get into the fair and enjoy it.
Get a chance to wander around, and yeah, it's great fun up there.
Is this your first Sheep and Wool Festival?
Yes, absolutely, very first in the entire world. We haven't been to any others. This is it. We're yarn festival virgins.
Whoa, not anymore.
Not anymore. Sparkly Cat and the wool festivals rule, so that's good.
And has it been worth it?
Yes, it's been absolutely fantastic. We've enjoyed every minute of it, and we could always enjoy the good weather here, too.
Absolutely. No, I'm a big fan of things like farmers markets and country fairs, and I think this is melding both loves.
And we love sheep. We also like to eat sheep. So we saw the lamb kebabs and everything else there. We didn't go overboard, but we certainly had our share.
I will be checking those out also. I am carnivorous.
And there's all kinds of other good stuff, carnival food, but we just let that alone in search of... Straight for the meat. Straight for the good stuff.
Lynn, and Lynn is one of the founding members and one of the three organizers of the Knitting Behind Bars project. And it is actually a fascinating project. And if you remember back to one of our early episodes, I was joking about how I had fantasized about having endless time to knit and prison wouldn't be a bad place to do it. But I was clearly joking, but if you remember. So this is actually on that theme, where they set up a knitting program for pre-release prisoners. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, my name is Lynn, and when I retired, I built this Columbia Sip and Knit group. First meeting, no one came. My husband said, maybe it's not a good idea. The next meeting, everybody came, and now we have over 400 members. And we are the people who have brought you this hospitality suite today. Not long ago, 5 years ago, I had this idea, this knitting behind bars, and I couldn't convince not one prison to let me in. Not one prison thought it would be a good idea. So finally, I just, I'm a...
You know, there is another way to get into prisons.
Right. I know about that. Now, I'm a used car saleswoman, so unless you give me a definite no, I'm like a bopper ball. I just will just keep coming back. So we finally got into this Jessup pre-release unit, and we started teaching men how to knit. And these men... at first, kind of snuck in with sunglasses because they didn't want anyone to know where they were going. Because, you know, in prison, macho is very important.
Of course.
And yeah. So now we have this core of knitters that religiously every Thursday show up for 2 hours, and they've given me the challenge of trying to make it possible for them to take their needles back to their cells, which is your
fantasy. It's my fantasy.
My fantasy, first of all, I look great in orange, and I...
Would plastic needles be possible?
Well, no, it's just they're not supposed to have any funk. So 2 hours a week we come in and we make these little comfort dolls, which I'm sure you've seen on the internet. They're given to children that are traumatized.
I've heard of similar programs.
So here they are, and what it is they make these dolls, and then we give them to first responders. Their arch enemy, the cops, who then come in, take them, and put them in their trunks. When children are traumatized, which my guys know about, believe me.
Oh, dear.
So they make these soft, cuddly toys. And what's happened is they've softened. They've become softer. They've become more generous with their feelings. And they are really entranced with it. We have about 30 of them now that we're going to be giving to the police and the fire department.
Wonderful.
And they are not real happy about the police, but you know, this is a project where they're learning how to get back into society.
And do you think that once they're released, they will keep knitting?
Well, they say they will. I tell them they'll get girls if they knit.
So you're specifically looking for donations at this point?
We're looking for cash donations. All of it is self-financed by the three of us. We want to have a little bit of a stipend to give to an engineer who can come in and talk to them about electrical engineering. What I'd like to encourage you all to do is go to www.knittingbehindbars.com. Click through it. You can see the guys knitting. You'll be thrilled, actually. There's a donate button for PayPal. If you're interested, please make sure you give us your address so we can send you a little button.
And you did have a funny story about yarn snobbery.
Yarn snobbery.
Can I say
please.
It?
Please.
Okay, well, we're really proud. We're really proud that we actually have... we have these guys, and they were knitting with just whatever cast off. You know, you've got a bag of it at home. You know, scratchy, icky stuff that you bought, and it's like, oh, what was I thinking? So everyone gave that was the donation. So we took it in, and the guys learned how to knit on that, but it's kind of splitty, and they weren't really thrilled with it. And then we put some Vanna in their hands.
So you're talking the Vanna's Choice.
Vanna's Choice. Right. It's a washable acrylic. It's soft, so it can be washed if the children, you know, spit up or drool all over it. And they got their hands on this fan, and they said, oh, my God, don't bring us any of that scratchy red heart. So what we started doing, and that's another expense that we've had. We have bought every color of Vanna yarn so that they can have a good choice. And they really, these are guys that have been locked up, many of them for 20 years, have not had a great tactile experience. I am really proud that I have built Yarn Snobs. I am really proud of them.
I'm proud of you.
After that, which was a lot of fun,
we went shopping.
Deb, Kiki, and Deborah and I went shopping. Now, I didn't buy anything.
Can I just talk about what I bought? Please.
Okay, yes, you can buy about what you talk.
I can also talk about what I bought. Okay, when we went to the New York State Sheep and Wool Festival, I didn't buy much yarn, but I did find a booth that I loved, and it was a Touch of Twist. And it turns out that they also had a booth at the Maryland Sheep and Wool, and I hadn't remembered that that was the booth that had caught my eye at Rhinebeck. But once I started looking at it, I realized that the same booth caught my eye. There I found alpaca yarn, and I have this special place in my heart for alpaca. So just want to tell you, I got 3 skeins of alpaca, Peruvian alpaca, one in a crisp white color, and I think it's a DK weight. And then I got 2 matching skeins of
same Peruvian alpaca in a nutmeg color. So I have plenty, plenty of this to knit with. So that's exciting. I have been working on spinning. So I had a look at some of their roving and I picked some roving. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. I got a bag of 25% silk, 75% fine wool.
It says wow right on it. How did they know?
How did they know it would be a wow? 8.4 ounces. And it is in a brownish gray color with streaks of purple and pink in it. I don't know how it'll spin up. I guess I'll see. But I'm excited to try silk and wool together.
And let me just intersperse here that during Deborah's shopping madness, Deb, Kiki, and I, we made some interesting observations.
Deborah has now succumbed to yarn madness.
Dun, dun, dun.
We're scared. Are you scared?
I'm very scared.
How about you?
I'm terrified.
Of her or of the madness hitting you?
Yes. Oh, well,
yes.
The madness hit me, but I can control it.
Oh, wow. It's like one of those people who are bitten by a vampire but doesn't become a vampire.
Exactly. I'm just a carrier.
Uh-oh. And you spread the yarn madness.
You're a spreader of the yarn madness.
So how is this madness at this moment
manifesting itself? Well, I found alpaca. I love alpaca.
How do you feel?
It's warm and squishy.
The last item I bought at the Touch of Twist was an afterthought purchase, but it turned out to be the biggest purchase. And it is a bat.
Giant cocoon.
It's a bump of rambouillet. And it is, what colors are these? I see
purple, red, plum, black, all mixed together.
Yeah, all mixed together, and I think it's going to spin into something wonderful and colorful, and I can't wait. Then we ran into a crowd of mostly podcasters. Jasmine from the Knitmore Girls and Gigi from the Knitmore Girls. And Megan from Stitch It, and I'm sorry, everyone else who was there.
Many other people.
And we met up with them, and we spent some time with them. I stole Jasmine, who is a little bit of a spinning expert, much more of an expert than I am, and we went and looked at spinning things. She took me to a booth called Little Barn, and I picked 3 bags of roving, and it's 100% fine wool. It doesn't say what kind of wool it is. And I got one in a browns and creams. I got another one in pinks and whites and purples. And another one in
blue.
Purplish blue or bluish purple.
Someone has a lot of spinning to do with all that.
I have a lot of spinning. And then I also picked up some undyed Shetland combed top because I wanted to try spinning different types of fibers, and so I wanted to get a little bit of a different experience. So Shetland combed top, I got 8 ounces of that, and I got 8 ounces of Jacob combed top. And then finally, I bought a bag of Tussa silk. So 4 ounces of silk, and apparently silk goes a really long way. And it's undyed again, but trying to get the experience working with different products. I also got at a booth called Bullen Woolens. The color is called Sage Green, but it's actually greens and browns, and it was 2 ounces, and it's pretty and something for me to spin and play with. I also bought from Strouch Fiber Equipment a teasing tool.
Okay.
And then
everyone else went off
back to the hotel.
But we weren't done. We wanted to see some animals. What do you think of being at the yarn fair? Are you having a good time? Do you think you can be a champion? I know. I hope you do well. And do you like knitting? Do you know anything about knitting? Do you think it's boring? Yeah, that's what I think. Well, I hope you win. And I know. And any last words at all? Anything to say to this? Those are words from a champion. And just one more time so we make sure we get it. There. Thank you so much. Deborah's not well.
No, I have fever.
She has fever.
I have
fever.
Fiber fever.
Fiber fever. Now, Deborah, what are some of the symptoms of fiber fever?
Well, let me say, one of the main symptoms is impulsive
and irrational
fiber purchasing. Other ones could be a strong desire to talk to farmers.
A strong desire to talk to sheep.
Posing for pictures in front of sheep.
Or with fiber. And a total disregard for how silly one looks with sacks of fiber on one's back. There was a whole area where you could buy sheep fleeces, and it was just hardcore. We couldn't deal. So we went to just look at some sheep, and they were so hot, they were panting. Poor little sheep. It's so hot. We passed a few sheep who actually had a fan on them, and we paused to say, isn't that nice?
And we were looking at the sheep, those particular sheep, and we were commenting that we liked the color of some of them and the look of the lot.
And then the fever struck.
We complimented the farmer to said, oh, well, we really like the color of your sheep. What breed are they? And he said, well, actually, I have some fleeces. And my inner...
Fever.
At this point, I think I was so feverish that perhaps
I was hearing voices.
Because the inner voice went, fleeces?
There was no turning back. These sheep were from this place called Hallelujah Farms in North Carolina. And there's the farmer, there's the farmer's wife, there's the farmer's friend, and the farmer's friend's wife. And they all had sheep there, and they all had fiber to sell. And they were so nice.
They were wonderful. They're from the Appalachian Mountains.
Mm-hmm, they're from the Appalachians. We had never met anyone from the Appalachians before. It was a very neat experience.
It was a bit of a cultural experience, but they were so friendly and so welcoming and so genuinely proud of the work that they did and their sheep and the fiber and the fleeces that they just sort of kept pulling out fleeces.
This is from Rihanna. That's a ewe.
Okay, so if I'm looking at... I'm also learning while I'm shopping. So if I'm looking at quality, I don't see a lot of veg matter in here. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay. And then I also want to check for breakage. Is that right? I don't see.
One good way to check for breakage is just to pull you out a piece and just do like that.
Yeah, you can etch.
Don't let it draft out.
Listen to it. You can hear it.
You can?
Listen to this.
Okay.
And what are we listening for?
You can just tell by the sound of it.
That it's solid.
Oh, yeah, you can hear it ping.
Yeah.
And then what else am I supposed to look for?
A lot of times in both of these fleeces, you'll see, like, sometimes people will look at things like this and they'll say, oh, no, well, that might be stained, but it won't be. When you wash it, some of this comes out.
Yeah, most of that will come out.
I suppose if you're finding fecal matter,
most, if not all.
Yeah, when I had some process last year, it came out a beautiful gray.
This is beautiful.
Which one do you like the best?
I know
you're
playing
with
that
one.
Bottom.
Okay.
I think that
it smells so nice.
A different breed. It would be kind of fun to.
That is a nice. That is really nice.
How much is this one?
That one right there, I'll take 25 for it. Because there's more poundage in this one. It's a bigger fleece.
Yeah.
Getting more wool for your money. Well, really, I mean, that is a deal on both fleeces.
Yeah.
You know, $25 a piece. Because, I mean, you know, I'm serious. It is.
Are you selling anything in at the fleece sale?
I was down there before lunch and we sold eight. So
you're from North Carolina?
Yes, ma'am.
What made you decide to do sheep?
I've had cattle.
Yes,
okay.
I mean, and we both work full-time jobs, me and my wife both, but we've... I've always had cattle. I growed up, my dad had cattle, you know, and she wanted a farmer, something she could fool with. I mean, she helped me with the cattle, but she wanted something she could do.
Right.
So she prayed and... She got people to give her two sheep, and she started in meat, and then we got into wool. These friends here, ours, told her, said, you're to get them wool breed. So it's so much better, and, you know, get her names out there, you know, and people will come. They know they're getting good fleeces, you know. So.
Okay.
But, I mean, they are both good fleeces.
Yeah. Okay, so this one I'm going to get. That is a lot for me to carry.
What do you need to carry? Well, if you carry it. Well, see, now this one, we can put this one in that bag there, too.
How long can they stay without being, like, if I clean them without processing them? It could last a little. It could wait a few months.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, see, we years.
Years.
You keep it at a dry... in a cool place as much as you can. You
right.
know, I ain't talking about a cooler. I'm just talking about don't lay in the winder
right.
of the car.
Right.
Right.
You know, but, hey, we got it stored in the barn then, just like you
okay.
have. I mean,
but it's better if it's cleaned first before you store it, right?
No.
Really?
No, not necessarily.
If it was me, I wouldn't wash it and everything until I was
ready.
Yeah, until I was ready. I tell
if you're
going to
go off, just roll it up and leave it just like that right there.
And let it breathe.
Let it breathe.
Yeah.
I am so easily swayed. Oh my goodness.
But it's prompted you to, are you from a farming family?
Yeah, well, because of our, we have girls. One's 21 now, is 17, and they started out in 4-H. We started with the market sheep, the ones you eat. And then that didn't go over too well, having to eat our sheep.
Did you have to kill them yourself too?
No.
Okay.
When we saw them leave on that big trailer from the fair, though, we cried. We said, we can't do this anymore.
So we had to switch over to the
Wolverines. And they were the same way.
You just ate the sheep you had left and then went on to wall.
No.
So that's how come we get in.
Because, I mean, this would be so much fun.
Yes.
It's a lot of work.
Yes, yes it is.
It is. But it's worth it. You have to love it to do it.
Well, and that's just like meeting Young's. And knowing that John's bought this was worth the whole trip.
That's what makes it.
I'm serious. I mean, it's
a lot of fun.
They had a variety of different sheep in their pens, and there was Lincoln,
a border
Leicestershire, and there were a couple of Merinos as well. And at one point in the conversations, I was pretty much sold on three fleeces, one as a Lincoln.
Three fleeces.
One Lincoln and two Border Leicestershires. And then I was smart or dumb enough, I haven't quite decided, to ask him basically if he had any fleeces for his Merino sheep. And he said, actually, yeah, I have a couple in my truck. Do you want to come up to the truck and see them? And the inner me said, enough fleeces. No, actually, the reasonable side of my brain said, enough fleeces. And the fever said, go to the truck. And so off we went to the truck.
Now, Mom always said never to go with strangers, but she didn't say not
never to go with farmers.
And no one's a stranger in the country, so we're good. We are after some special Merino wool. We are heading to a truck to find a very, very special Merino wool that no one else has ever seen. Perfect way to lure a knitter.
You should have a knitter.
Yeah, if you want a knitter, this is the bait.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's set that on the tailgate just there. And
to smell it, snap the logs, look for veg matter, and if that looks okay, then these colors.
Oh, it says sweater.
Yeah, see what that is. This right here is what's right on the end. You know, it's a little brown right on the end. But,
right. But I actually quite like the slight interest in colors. What are you selling these for?
We'll take it back down there and I'll let my wife price it.
Sure.
Look, it's the same color as your hair.
Excellent.
And see this right here? You can pull that off. That's right there at the end. That's where a little bit
of... Oh, Tess. Is Tess nice?
Well, let's see.
Did she bite?
No. All our sheep is they're gentle, you know. But you have a ram every now and then, you know, at a show out where you, especially if you got a ewe. Well, I ain't bragging. They're all good fleeces.
And two more fleeces later.
So five fleeces total.
Five fleeces total. I handed over a total of $105.
Well, five was mine.
$105, and I walked away with five fleeces. Can I tell you quickly what I got? Because I wrote it down.
You will.
Okay. I got a 4-pound Border Leicestershire lamb's fleece. I got a 7-pound Border Leicestershire fleece.
I think that was Rihanna.
And that one I think is. And it's in a gray-brown color, mostly gray. And then I have a brown gray Lincoln of 6 pounds, another 6-pound jet black merino, and an 8-pound gray merino fleece. And so
yarn madness, fiber fever.
Exactly. We left the showgrounds.
We were those people.
We were those people.
But we had to take the park and ride tractor because we were not able to walk back to our car.
It was too heavy and too bulky. And so
a really long story short, the 10 and a half hour drive back was like driving with a farm. They're a little smelly.
We arrived home quite late,
but we stopped on the way for a snack.
We did. And we had some fun experiences
there. And if
anyone says that we're difficult, the answer is
No, not a chance.
Okay, we have just stopped on the way up for a meal, and people think we're difficult sometimes, and I don't know why.
I have no idea why. And we are at a restaurant called Panera Bread?
Panera Bread.
And it is the only healthy thing we've seen for our entire 3 days of driving, actually.
Precisely.
That's not a Burger King.
And we just wanted to share with you what our order was.
So this is Julia. She's awesome, and this is our order.
One turkey on country bread with no mayonnaise, a whole grain baguette, one bakery promo that is undecided, which you can come back for, the Mediterranean veggie, no onion, a Fuji chicken apple salad with no chicken, sub honey tangerine dressing on side with no onion, and one French baguette and a strawberry smoothie, and that comes to $21.58.
She is awesome, and that's how easy we are, just off the menu. We just pick what we want.
Straight off the menu.
Straight off the
menu.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you, Julia. You are awesome.
It's neat and it's sweet, it's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet. Just knitting with your knitting all day long. You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun. Knitting's good for everyone, and that is why we sing this knitting song. With knit one, purl two, what's a knitter gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn, and stitch three, drop four, pitch that knitting.
And thus we come to the end of another episode of the Savvy Girls Podcast.
Thank you so much for staying with us. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show. We were so glad to have you. And if you're a returning listener, we are thrilled that you come back for each show. If you'd like to reach us, you can visit our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can find us on Ravelry. I am Savvy Girl Deborah, and Melanie is Savvy Girl Melanie. Also, if you would like to subscribe to the show, you can do it through our website, or you can find us on iTunes. Finally, if you'd like to send us an email, you can send your message to podcast@savvygirls.ca.
And extra finally, if you really want to find us, we will be driving for the next 6 hours down the roads in Pennsylvania. So come on out. Who knows? We might see you.
If we did see you any of the time while we were recording this show, thank you so much for coming and seeing us. Thank you to everybody who participated by being subjects of interviews. And I can't wait till our next show.
Thanks for listening, and
tend to your knitting, kitten.
Cardigan would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.
Well, and that's just like meeting Young's. And knowing that Young's bought this was worth the whole trip. I'm serious. I mean,
it's a lot of fun. This is Melanie. I am podcasting from the parking lot of some town in the middle of some state. It might be called North Haven, and it might be Connecticut. Who knows? But I went in to get our takeout Japanese food for the road, because everything else was Roy Rogers or Wendy's or equally unhealthy garbage, but delicious sometimes. But I came out, and my sister was gone. So, Deborah, if you hear this, where are you? Especially, I'm a bit worried because you went off with three little gerbils in your car. You have gerbil-nabbed my gerbils. I would like them back. So if you hear this, if I don't ever find you and have to walk back to New York and Canada and... Oh, wait, I can't put the podcast up. You also have my computer. Where are you? I have the food, though, so ha 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 ha.